May it please the Court? Counsel. My name is Bo Brindley, and I represent the defendant appellant Roberto Sandoval Velasco. Mr. Sandoval Velasco appeals the district court's denial of the reduction under the guidelines, Section 1B1.3, for being a minor participant in a drug conspiracy. During the sentencing hearing, when discussing the minor role issue, the district court discussed the matter at length. However, during the entirety of that discussion, never made any factual findings regarding Mr. Sandoval Velasco's role in the offense as it compared to the other participants in the conspiracy. The factors that go into this analysis that are well established by this court's precedent include role of conspiracy as a whole, length of involvement, relationship with other participants, potential for financial gain, knowledge of conspiracy. There was no analysis of the potential for financial gain for Mr. Sandoval Velasco, no knowledge, no analysis of the knowledge that he had, and most importantly, no examination of his relationship with the other participants. Instead, what the district court did here was to give a pretty long example to explain its reasoning, and it gave the example of the murder gang.
What was the district judge told about financial gain or knowledge or the relationship with others?
We had argued leading up to the sentencing that Mr. Sandoval Velasco was basically a courier.
How about evidence?
And that, in terms of evidence that was presented, we had presented the position that had been taken at the safety valve proffer that we did, that the government was not contesting at that time, which we accepted as indicating that, in fact, those facts were established, that he was indeed a courier. The government really didn't even argue that he was not a courier. They argued that he was a courier for large amounts of cocaine. And ultimately, in the face of those arguments, what Judge Zagel did was he gave us the murder gang example.
Yes, Judge, I'm sorry. The burden is on the defendant.
Yes.
So what did you give the judge with respect to financial gain or knowledge or relationship with others?
We gave the judge the defendant's position, which had been presented by the defendant's word at the safety valve proffer, that what he did was act as a courier.
That doesn't address those other factors.
Well,
other than simply by speculation.
Well, in terms of that, what he indicated was, by way of the information provided through his statements to the government at the safety valve proffer, what he indicated was that he had, all he did was he got information from Mexico and was told, drive to this place, go to this place. He didn't have any control over the cocaine. He didn't make any decisions about the pricing. He didn't deal with anyone other than transporting things back and forth from one place to another. Now, he admitted that they were large amounts of cocaine that he was involved in transporting.
Well, he had control when he had when he was making the delivery.
He certainly had, he's had control over it like any courier does.
Yeah.
And many times couriers are given the minor role reduction. The problem in this case is
The problem in this case is he didn't give it.
The problem in this case is he didn't do the analysis that's required.
If you're going to have him do the analysis, then he needs the tools to do it with, right?
Of course.
The evidence, that's what Judge Hamilton was getting at. If you don't give him the indication that he didn't know anybody or there was very little financial gain on his part or
and
whatever.
In fact, we presented the defendant's position, as had been stated in the safety valve proper as well, about his relationship with his Mr. Mendoza, Antonio Mendoza. And that, in fact, Mendoza had more authority and more knowledge when compared with the defendant. And we made those arguments very specifically at the sentencing and it presented them in our sentencing memorandum as well. And in terms of that, the government, the Judge Zagel didn't consider them one way or another. He didn't say that because there's insufficient evidence here, that's not what he did. What he did was he said, basically, when you have drug quantity is the most important thing in a drug case. And when the quantity is so high, then it doesn't make sense to talk about the relative culpability. That was the basically the point of the murder gang example, which culminated in him saying, I don't think a competent defense lawyer would then say, well, you should give him a minor role because he only killed one person. But by the analogy there is, if the drug quantity is high enough, it doesn't matter. And it may be that in terms of the overall seriousness of the offense under Section 3553, maybe an enhancement's appropriate, but that doesn't change the fact that this court has said you have to, at very least, do the comparison between the other participants and the defendant.
Well, I think there is a comparison there. You, when you haul that much drugs, it's like in a murder comparison, picking up a guy and taking him to a house where somebody else shoots him.
And it may be, but the question then is, are they actually
equally
culpable?
You have to say that. Everybody knows that. And your guy says that, and he has to say it all over again? The judge has to?
The judge has to engage in analysis of the comparison. Yes, that's what this court has said.
He says that he already did. He says they're comparable. They're the same.
He did not say that they were comparable. He didn't make that finding.
He didn't use those words.
He didn't address Mr. Mendoza at all. What he said was drug quantity is important, and when you have these substantial amounts of drugs...
Well, it doesn't make any difference who you're comparing him to, Mendoza or the man on the moon. If this drug quantity is so severe that it doesn't make any difference, he cannot reduce...
If that's the position that he takes, Your Honor, then I think he's not doing the analysis required by Section 1P1.3.
Right. Mendoza came well after. I mean, the defendant here, Sandoval, had been involved for a long time before Mendoza comes on the scene.
He had been involved for a period of time before Mendoza, yes, Your Honor. Yeah. He was involved.
And that is something the district judge pointed out, the length of time, right?
I don't remember Judge Zagel actually commenting on the length of time during his analysis of the... I don't remember that coming up in the analysis that he did, Judge.
Okay.
It's true that's a fact. And basically our position here is, Judge, this case isn't any different really than Diaz-Rios, where you have a situation where it's certainly ambiguous. The judge's statements at the sentencing are ambiguous such that both the government and the defense can present interpretations of it, our position being that there was no comparative analysis, and their position being that there was implicitly
one. I've got to say that if arguable ambiguity about a district judge's sentencing analysis is enough to require a remand, they're going to become automatic.
Well, it seems to me that in the Diaz-Rios case, that was what was stated, that if it's ambiguous...
I realize what was said.
Okay.
I'm trying to understand what was intended and how practical and workable that standard is.
Well, I'm not sure if this is necessarily the case to address it as a whole, but the bottom line is there's an unquestionably ambiguity here. And I think it's more interesting here because Judge Zagel also said... seemed to be suggesting that this was a novel issue, that somebody might want to take this up on appeal. He said that. It's in his analysis, and it's in our reply brief at page 7, where he says somebody might want to address this issue on appeal. That's why I'm going to
address every issue on appeal.
Perhaps. But Judge Zagel was indicating that for an explanation for why he'd gone on at such length with his example. And is our position, what he was saying was, he thinks that if your drug quantity is so high, then it doesn't make sense to do comparative culpability. That would be different than what the Section 1B1.3 cases we have always said. And that's the issue. According to the law as it stands now, the comparative analysis has to be done.
Let me get back to you. You indicated you didn't provide him any evidence with regard to those elements, though.
I don't agree with that. We provided him with the defendant's position as stated to the government in its safety valve proffer, which is evidence. Now, he could say, I don't believe that, but he didn't. He didn't say that he didn't find any of those statements accurate. He would need to do that, at the very least, to say that we were wrong, that we didn't meet the standard, and he didn't even address that in the analysis he did. So if there are no further questions, Judge, I would reserve whatever's left.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Good morning, and may it please the Court. My name is Megan Church, and I represent the United States. Responding directly to defense counsel's arguments, the evidence presented to the district court was that this defendant was an average member of the conspiracy. He was a courier. There's no dispute about that. But so were the other members of the drug trafficking organization who are operating here in Chicago. And what the district court explained in its analysis, it's not simply the drug quantity that is determinative of the aggravating or mitigating role. It's the defendant's relationship to that drug quantity. And here, the district court correctly found that the defendant had an intimate and substantial relationship to an enormous quantity of drugs, which he moved in and around Chicago, beginning in October of 2008 and continuing until his arrest in April of 2010. There was a lot of discussion at the sentencing hearing comparing the relative roles of Mr. Mendoza and Mr. Sandoval Velasco. And the evidence is contained in the pre-sentence investigation report and other materials referenced to the district court was that they were both average participants. They had the same role. They talked to the same individual located in Mexico, provided them each with directions about where to pick up the narcotics, where to deliver them, and how much money to collect. Each made his own decision as to where and when to make those deliveries and make those pickups.
And they had to be reliable.
Yes, Your Honor. They were, and there was no dispute as to the relative roles. And for those reasons, the district court, while giving a lengthy analysis about drug quantity in the relationship to drug quantity, there was no evidence presented by the defendant contrary to that. And so there was no clear error. And so unless there are any questions from the panel, we ask that you affirm the defendant's conviction and sentence.
Thank you very much. I'll give you a minute, counsel.
If the only evidence that the district court did the analysis is that he found an intimate, substantial relationship to a large amount of cocaine, the defendant being held accountable for the amount of cocaine he's responsible for, even no matter how large it is, under Note 3A of Section 1B1.3, that doesn't disqualify him from getting the reduction. Our position is that the judge needed to more clearly articulate the comparison. And if the Diaz-Rios case has authority, precedential authority, then there's enough ambiguity here that we should be entitled to a remand. With respect to what Judge Zagel said, I think it was clear, and certainly there is what it appears to be the case, is that if you get a big enough amount of cocaine, there's really no way, if you're dealing with that much, that you could play a minor role. But I think that means ultimately you're making a qualitative point about cases and people involved with a large amount of cocaine. You're not doing a relative and comparative analysis, which is what was required. Thank you.
Thank you. And counsel, you were appointed in this case, were you not?
Yes, Your Honor.
I have the thanks of the court for your representation of your client and appreciate it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Court will be in recess.